This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Matt Sharp back with us on the program this week. Matt is legal counsel with Alliance Defending Freedom, where he plays a key role on the Freedom of Conscience team. Since joining ADF in 2010, Matt has worked on a number of important cases advancing religious freedom, particularly for elementary students in school. Matt is with us to continue a discussion that we began last week about an important case out of the state of Virginia that is currently before the United States Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit, which could have a significant impact on the privacy, safety, and health of students in public schools in a number of states, including North Carolina. We consider the outcome of this case to be very important, and apparently others do as well, as North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory recently signed his name to a friend of the court brief that's been filed in this case. Matt, it's great to have you with us on Family Policy Matters.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, we appreciate you being back with us and talking about this very important issue. Now, Matt, tell us about this case, which is GG v. Gloucester County School Board and the Virginia School District, whose bathroom policy is being challenged by not only the ACLU, but also the Obama administration.
So GG is a female student in the Gloucester School District in Virginia and was starting to identify as a male, dress like a male, go by a male's name, and eventually started demanding to be allowed to use the male restrooms and locker rooms. Initially, the school district said yes, and the superintendent said, yeah, we're going to allow you to do that. And this happened for about 6 to 7 weeks. There hadn't been any consultations. There hadn't been information given to parents about this girl was now going to be in the boys' restroom and sharing the facilities with your boys. And so a lot of the parents became concerned, and we were contacted by parents at ADF, and we sent a letter to the school explaining why the law protects a student's right to privacy and why a better course of action is to allow this transgender student to use a single stall restroom, a place where her privacy can be protected, but protecting the rights of everyone else by maintaining specific and distinct facilities for boys and girls. Fortunately, the school district agreed, and the board reversed course, adopted a good policy, and that's what ultimately led to this student suing the school district with the assistance of the ACLU, saying, you're violating Title IX and my constitutional rights by not allowing me, a girl, to use the guy's bathroom. This is going to be a very significant case, both in Virginia, in the region, but I think even across the country. Are schools required to allow a transgender student to use whatever bathroom they want? Or is common sense going to reign supreme? Is Title IX going to be respected? And are schools going to retain the authority to impose these common sense rules when it comes to bathroom access? So every school in Virginia and throughout the Fourth Circuit, I think, is going to be directly influenced and given some clear direction based on the outcome of what the Fourth Circuit decides.
Well, Matt, it really seems that one of the big issues in this case is that really is the freedom of local school districts, parents, and others within the community to deal with and determine these types of policies that may come up with respect to transgender students without intervention from the federal government. As you've said, the Obama administration is really driving a lot of this effort and even has gotten engaged in this lawsuit. In addition to protecting the privacy right of students, isn't keeping these policies at the local school district level important to ensure that parents and others in the community have an opportunity to have input and to express their views about how they want their children to be treated within the school system?
Absolutely. We're seeing more and more efforts by the federal government to encroach upon the local authority of local schools. Courts have always said that educational decisions are best left to local school boards. They know their students, they know their community, they know what is in the best interest of their kids. And so that's why even with Title IX, when it came to the bathroom issue and whatnot, Congress said, we're going to let schools decide how best to protect the privacy and safety of their students when it comes to bathrooms and locker rooms. They didn't do a one-size-fits-all. They delegated that to the local schools. What we're seeing is an Obama administration that is subverting that and telling schools, we don't care what you believe. We don't care what your students want. We don't care what your parents want. You either adopt our way of thinking, you adopt our radical views on all of this that would open up the bathrooms to whoever they want to, or we're going to harm your students by stripping them of federal funding. On average, that's about $1,200 per student per year. For a lot of schools, this is a big chunk of their budget, and schools and educational opportunities would be dramatically impacted by the loss of that funding. But because they're using the power of the pocketbook and coming in and threatening schools with losing this federal funding, the government is forcing their own ideology, their own view of how things should be run on these local schools. And so as a matter of pure local authority and the ability of schools to regulate and run themselves, this is a matter of vital importance. For school boards to stand up and say, enough is enough, stay out of our business, let us decide what is best for the kids in our school.
Well, clearly ADF and UMAD have been on the front lines of this issue and dealing with it. In fact, ADF developed and sent out a model bathroom policy for schools across the country that is aimed at addressing these types of issues with students who do not identify with their biological sex. Tell us about the ADF recommended policy and why it really is the best policy for schools to adopt in order to effectively deal with these types of issues and protect all students.
What we offer is a very common sense, simple policy that any school can understand, but a policy that also shows respect and compassion for every student in the school. And it basically has three simple parts. Number one, we define what sex means, because we want to get away from the government's view that sex includes gender identity and all of these other things. We define it as clearly male and female. And it's, again, based on what your birth certificate says and on what the doctor and parents decide if you've got, you know, an intersex child when that child is born. So it addresses all of that. Number two, it says schools should designate restrooms as either boys or girls, and students and others are required to use the bathroom of their biological sex. Again, common sense protections, common sense way of structuring things. But as a third part, it realizes that there are some students, like transgender students, or even others that just may be very shy and have an increased sense of privacy that are not comfortable using the communal restroom of their biological sex. So it says schools can designate a single stall restroom, like one in the nurse's restroom or the teacher's lounge or any other one that's available, and give that as an accommodation, as a place where a transgender student or any other student wanting more privacy can use the restroom, change, and have their privacy protected as well. So it's a win-win for everybody, and it's a way to show compassion and respect and dignity to every student in the school. And so that's what we're encouraging schools to adopt. It was basically the policy that the Gloucester School District adopted as well. And so it's a policy that's not only, in our view, complies with Title IX in the law, but that even a federal court has looked at and says, yes, this is common sense, it's consistent with the law, I'm going to uphold it.
Well, Matt, North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory recently signed on to an amicus brief or a friend of the court brief that was filed by, I believe, the Attorney General of South Carolina supporting the school's district policy. Alliance Defending Freedom also submitted a friend of the court brief in the case as well. What is ADF arguing in its brief in terms of why the Gloucester County School District's policy should be upheld?
Our focus is on the privacy issue. We submitted a brief on behalf of parents, students, and community members in Gloucester, the people directly impacted by this policy. And what we raised is what courts across the country have concluded, that there is a fundamental right of privacy to not be viewed unclothed or in similar circumstances by members of the opposite sex. One of the cases that those arises out of is situations involving prisoners. And so you've got these male prisoners who have been convicted of a crime and are in prison, and they filed a court suit against the prisons because there was female guards patrolling near the restrooms and shower areas. And these prisoners said, look, we may have given up a lot of our rights when we got sent to prison, but we haven't given up our fundamental right to privacy. And the courts agreed. And they said, yeah, prisoners, you're right. Although these female guards have a right to employment, they've got to be reassigned to some other part of the prison. So if these male prisoners have a fundamental right of privacy and to not be viewed changing or showering by members of the opposite sex, how much more so do these students in Gloucester and across the country have that same constitutional right? And that's the basis of our argument, that there is a clear right here. And again, we're not saying that the transgender student shouldn't be afforded a safe place. They should, but it shouldn't come at the cost of violating the rights of privacy of these students in Gloucester and across the country.
Well, and apparently the ACLU and the Obama administration and others are not in agreement with that. I think they are really pushing a much more aggressive agenda, and they really, unfortunately, do not see it as a common sense solution, which it absolutely is, but they are interested more in probably the political ramifications and pushing a far left agenda, which is ultimately their goal. So, Matt, what is next in this case? What happens if the Fourth Circuit sides with the ACLU and the Obama administration and forces the Virginia School District to allow transgender students to use the locker rooms and restrooms of their choice? Do you think this case would eventually go to the U.S. Supreme Court if it meets that end?
I think there's a strong chance for that. I do think there's a good chance of our side and common sense winning out on this case. Just like the lower court did, all the appellate court has to do is look at Title IX, that everyone knows was always designed to deal with males and females and discrimination among them, and say, look, if Congress wants to change it, let Congress do it, but we from the court are not going to redefine what sex means, redefine what Title IX means. If Congress wants to do it, we'll do it to them. And I think there's a good chance that this issue may get appealed to the Supreme Court. Either way it goes, I think a lot of people are realizing that there's sweeping consequences for our nation if this policy is struck down, if common sense is struck down, if basic privacy protections are struck down by the Fourth Circuit. So there's a good chance the court will look at it. And because it involves a federal law and an area that has been a hot topic and that lots of people across the country are very interested in, there's a good chance the court may take it. And again, we would hope that they would do a ruling in favor of common sense, in favor of a basic understanding of male and female and biology.
Well, and it would seem that the implications of this, if this case were to go in the other direction and the courts recognize a right for transgender students or individuals who identify themselves as different than their biological sex, that not only could it apply to schools, but it could apply to any other public accommodation that exists in our country. So public parks, entertainment venues, basically any area where the public is welcomed in could ultimately fall under a similar type of policy. Is that your understanding?
Absolutely. And we need to look no further than Houston, Texas. Houston passed a law, the city council did, that basically outlawed gender identity discrimination. And some of the consequences were businesses, places of public accommodation, theaters, parks, restaurants, etc., were going to be told, you have to allow men into women's restroom and vice versa. Well, people started looking at this, and business owners and parents and community members, and saying, we're not comfortable with this. And so they went and revoked and overturned the bad decision of the city council by an overwhelming, I think it was like a 62% majority, disagreed with this and said, this is not a society, this is not a city that we're comfortable creating. And that just goes to show you the consequences of this, but also what happens when people step back, take a look at the consequences of these laws, and just come to a common sense conclusion that there's a better path forward. There's a way we can provide a safe place and accommodate the needs of a transgender person, but in a way that does not compromise the safety and privacy of everyone else.
Well, Matt, we are almost out of time for today, but before we close, where can our listeners go to learn more about Alliance Defending Freedom and this case?
They should visit us at ADF, short for Alliance Defending Freedom, adflegal.org. They can learn more about this case, but importantly, if their school is facing this and if their school is considering a policy, we want them to contact us. We want to send a letter and informational materials to the school, and we stand by what we say, because if a school will adopt our policy, we may be able to represent that school free of charge if they get sued by the ACLU or a transgender student or something like that, because we think every school should be able to defend our policy, take a firm stand for dignity, for privacy, and for the safety of every student under its care.
Great. Well, Matt, let me repeat that website again for our listeners' benefit. That's adflegal.org. And we certainly want to encourage parents to not only visit your website and avail themselves of that information, but also to keep their eyes and ears very open and be aware of what's taking place in the school districts in their areas of the state, so that if something like this comes up, they'll be aware of it. And then with the help of ADF, we'll know how to better respond to that. And with that, I want to thank you, Matt Sharp, for joining us this week on Family Policy Matters, and for the great work that you're doing at Alliance Defending Freedom, working to defend just that, our freedoms across this nation. We're so grateful for you and for all that ADF does.
Thank you so much for having me.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.